Tim made himself a pasty, and now he's feeling nasty. My Mac Podcast 130.
My belly hurts.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
Yeah, it's one of those rare times that I'm doing the podcast and I really don't feel good. Usually, I don't know, it's weird. When it's time to come to do the podcast, most of my ailments kind of go away while we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But today,
Yeah, well.
You want to? I'm sure there's some people in our listening audience who have no idea what a pasty is. Not a pasty guy.
A pasty.
Well, those usually come in pairs anyway.
That's right, yeah. And they're pretty small. Well, the good ones are. Well,
yeah, I hope so.
Madonna, you know, made those pretty famous.
Yeah.
Now, this is a pasty. You want to?
Yeah, a pasty is a traditional northern Michigan, northern Wisconsin.
From, we call it from the UPA.
Yeah, and they're basically they're like a little meat pie that you eat with your hands.
No, it's not little.
Well, they're good sized meat pies.
Yeah, this one was about almost the size of my forearm.
It's what the copper miners used to take to work with them. They eat them down the mines.
It had rutabaga.
Yep.
Potatoes.
Usually beef or chicken.
And beef.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And then, you know, I got home, I should say, you know, this morning my wife had the ultrasound for the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. How'd that go?
Went pretty good. The doctor said she thinks she saw a little nub down there, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Pray for the nub.
Pray for the nub. And with three girls, yes.
Yeah, it'll be the next saying on Heroes.
Yes.
Yeah. First it was save the cheerleader, now it's pray for the nub.
Pray for the nub.
We should really trademark that, you know. Pray for the nub.
Prayforthenub.com. Prayforthenub.com.
So we had the ultrasound this morning, and our middle child, the 12-year-old, didn't feel good, so she stayed home from school, and we took her with us. And I had to go in and get some work done today, and Julie did too, so she stayed home in the morning after the ultrasound, and I went to work, and then I came home around lunchtime, a little after lunchtime, and Julie went to work. Well, she had made a pasty, and I smelled it when I walked in the door, and it smelled wonderful. And I said, I want one of those. And she said, well, you know you don't like them. I said, well, but it smells really good. I'm quite sure I will like it.
Well, did she actually make it, or was this just, you know, a frozen pasty? Or?
Yes, it was a frozen, okay. But I mean, it's a homemade one. It's not like a store-bought one.
Okay.
They get it from a place up in the UP of Michigan, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. For those, you know, who realize Michigan isn't just the glove, it's the little thing above it, too. That really should
nub.
Be that should be part of Wisconsin, but for whatever reason, it's part of Michigan.
It's Michigan's nub.
Yes, Michigan's nub.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an aluminum foil. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it just didn't agree with me. I mean, this thing was huge, and I ate like 3/4 of it, even though I knew I wasn't enjoying it, which, well, it came down to the
combination.
Yes, but she was kind of depressed that I was going to eat one of her pasties, and I wasn't going to like it. So to her, why should I eat that if she knows that she will really enjoy it? And if I eat it, I won't. Thus, it's logical that I don't eat it so she can have it later. And she's right. I shouldn't have ate it, but it smelled good. And now my tummy hurts. Okay, question of the week for you guys. And I gave them absolutely no preparation for this.
Which typically means it's going to be a disaster.
Off the cuff.
Oh, yeah.
You're stuck on a desert island with no internet connection. But you do have a power source and your Macintosh with a screen, obviously. Three-part question. Which Macintosh do you have with you? I'm assuming there's, like, shade somewhere so you don't... Mm-hmm. Your Mac's not baking in the sun, but don't overthink it.
Okay.
Which Macintosh do you bring? And you can only have two programs on it. You can have, you know, a software title such as, you know, Adobe, Photoshop, or mm-hmm. Word, or something like that, and one game. What game do you bring, and what program do you use on that Macintosh?
Oh, good Lord.
I know, it's a difficult one. I thought about it on the 2 second car ride from my house to Chad's house. And I thought I probably would get the 17-inch MacBook Pro because it's portable, so I'm not tied to one area of the island.
Yeah.
Right, so I could kind of move it around with me. And it's got a big enough screen.
Mm-hmm.
And a really long extension cord.
Yeah. But it also has built-in speakers, so if you like, pick the I'll take the dual core or the what is it now, the 8-core Mac Pro. Well, that's great, but you don't have any speakers in there. I think it's got one little cheap one, doesn't it? I'm not even sure. Sure it does.
Well, Mac, yeah, MacBook does.
And the Mac, Mac Pro,
Mac Pro, yeah.
Does that have a speaker? It still has a speaker built in. I'm pretty sure.
Sure. Yeah, it's got two of them.
So that would be my computer. What do you think, Guy? What computer would you bring?
Oh, I would have to go with the 17-inch MacBook Pro myself. I think that's the best form over function.
Yeah? Chad?
Yeah, I'm in with that. I love my MacBook, but yeah, if I get a MacBook Pro, sure.
I mean, it's...
And what the heck? I may as well get the acreage on the screen because I've got nothing else to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Guy, have you thought about it a little bit? What's the productivity type of program that you would bring?
I'm going to cheat a little bit and say iLife.
iLife? Oh, that is kind of cheating a little bit. But what are you going to do with iLife?
I have no idea.
You can't really make a movie.
Well, sure you can.
You sure can.
You can. You've
you
got
can use your little camera.
Yeah.
My life on the island. My guy's turtle.
Here I am. It's day 37. No one's found me yet, and they don't seem to be looking that hard.
Guy Searle and Wilson.
This Pokemon is Tim, and this one is Chad.
Chad, stop hitting Tim. Stop hitting Tim, Chad. Okay, so iLife for you, Chad.
Oh.
Remember, you're all by yourself.
Yeah.
I didn't give a time limit, but let's say you're going to be there for a year. That's... you've got a year on this island with that.
You know what?
Notebook.
I'll take iWork.
iWork?
Because at least I've got pages and I can at least type a journal of what I'm experiencing.
Yeah, see that I was kind of going there. I was thinking of Microsoft Office.
And make a nice
Office.
PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Not PowerPoint. Well, not only that, but with Keynote, you could actually do some video editing.
This is true. Yeah.
And if you get the high gloss screen, you can use it as
the sunlight to get under my chin when I sun.
Yeah, a little sunlight on there.
Well, the aluminum, you know, maybe that would help too. But
I would probably go with I think I'm going to go with Guy and say iLife.
Yeah, because you also have GarageBand, which it can be a huge source of entertainment.
Right, but you know what though, I'm a writer, and what am I going to use in iLife to write with?
Ah, but if you have your Mac, you also have...
No. You can't say, well, you get all the tools. No.
One application, one game.
One application, one game. That's all that's on there. And disk tools.
You could type in iMovie. Have it scrolled down the screen.
it'd be the longest...
longest title.
I would probably go with...
Or you could really challenge yourself and just put HyperCard on it. There you go.
There you go. I would probably go with Guy.
I don't think that's a universal binary.
No, I think I'm going to go with your choice, Chad. I do. What? Because I'm a writer. I'm going to have to have something to type in. If I'm going to have all this time... I can crank out the Great Desert Island novel. I would say the Great American novel, but
the Great Desert Island novel. Yeah.
Okay, so those are the applications. Mm-hmm. Chen and I are going to get a lot of work done, and Guy's going to have a whole bunch of home movies in the sand.
On the beach.
Hunting for
starfish.
They'll
string them together, and it'll be like that one thing about the guy that was killed by the bear. What was that one?
Did you guys see the...
Grizzly Man.
I sent you that little iMovie thing that I did, the little QuickTime video. Did you guys see that with the little South Park character?
Yeah, that was great.
I sent it to you, dude.
Yeah,
South Park.
I kind of
did
that. I remember somebody asked you how you made that, and how did you make it?
There's a website, southparkstudios.de. It's a German website.
Right.
And you can just do it right there. It just makes pictures. You could change the mouth and, you know, whatever you want. You can create your own character. And I just kept taking screen snapshots of the different mouth movements and blinks and stuff like that.
Oh,
so it was
clever.
Just pictures, and I brought that into iMovie and laid it over.
You sure you don't want iLife, Tim?
Yeah. See? But I wouldn't have an internet connection then.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, so that's the productivity. Chad and I are going to get a lot of writing done. Mm-hmm. What game do you bring?
Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
Yeah, okay. Mm. That's a good one. I'm going to assume that even older Mac games are going to run. I don't know how. So if it's like a classic game, mm-hmm. forget, don't, like I said, don't overthink it.
Ooh, maybe Carmageddon then.
Carmageddon? You think that's got enough replay value for you?
Oh, there's nothing like running over elephants at a zoo to just really lift your spirits.
I think I know Chad's, and I think mine's going to be the same as Chad's, but what's yours?
You know what? I thought StarCraft at first, but then I thought, you know, I want a solitaire game, so I'll have to take Eevee Nova.
Hmm. Ooh. That's pretty good.
Eevee Nova, that is a good choice.
A mine is StarCraft.
Yeah.
It has so much... The game came out in 98.
And it's, I know, I'm playing
and
it still.
And I still play it occasionally.
I went back
and started playing that. If you take Eevee Nova, unfortunately, the gods are conspiring against you, and it's the unregistered version where the little captain guy comes out and blows you up because you haven't registered it.
Actually, I'm back to playing that again. I just picked that up probably about 2 weeks ago and thought, I'll just install it on the MacBook and...
What?
Eevee Nova.
Yeah, Eevee Nova.
Yeah,
that was, you know, that was one of those weird games where the first one was just great, and then the second one basically kind of sucked ass, and then they redeemed themselves with the third one.
Yeah.
If I could bring any game on any computer platform or any gaming platform, mine would have to be San Andreas, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas on
PlayStation 2. Yeah, with a year, you might actually finish it.
Well, but the thing is, you know, it's a huge city. In fact, it's three cities and a countryside. And it's just endless. You can just do anything, really. I mean, you can go anywhere, do anything. The people would talk to you, some of the people. So you'd at least have a semblance of conversation with people.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And it's probably got the best play mechanics in, of any of the Grand Theft Auto games.
Mm.
So that would be mine if I could have any game. Do you guys have one that, if you could have any game? Or I know neither one of you play video games to the extent that I do. I mean, today, for instance, I was playing the Halo 3 beta.
Were you?
Yeah, it was released finally.
How was it?
But
can't
the graphics are great. No, yeah. It's open. The graphics are great. I really enjoy it, but...
No substantial play difference, or what?
No, I just feel like I'm playing Halo. I mean, I understand why people are excited about it, but by the same token, it's just Halo again. It's
yeah, but are they going to put any new features in a beta or not?
Well, no, there's some new weapons, and there's this bubble thing that if you throw down, it's like this protective force field around you, and they can't shoot you through it, and nor can you shoot out, but they can walk right through the bubble and club you in the head. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So it's,
I hate it when I get clubbed.
I hate that. It hurts. But no, it was pretty good. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And it only lasts for 3 weeks, and then it gets turned off, and you got to buy the game in September. But that, I don't know. That I just thought that might be a fun question to put out there.
Mm-hmm.
And not just for you two, if anybody listening wants to share what game they would use, why, and what productivity application they would use, and why.
And what Mac they would take.
Well, I think the Mac is kind of...
Yeah.
If you get a desktop, you got to find a place to put it.
This is true.
You know, and
then you got to worry about hauling a monitor onto the aisle and the keyboard.
And the keyboard, and then again, most games are a lot easier with a mouse and a keyboard rather than the scroll pad.
True.
I mean, you'd get used to it, but I'd really want a mouse, especially with StarCraft. You really need that mouse.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know if I could play StarCraft for crap with a...
I've never
If
tried.
I had a year on a desert island, I'm sure I would get pretty good at it. But, you know, it's... if you guys got any ideas of your own, send it to mymacpodcast@gmail.com or tim@mymac.com. It'll get there, too.
Heck, or for you that can matter, call us even, at 801-938-5559.
Guy was looking at his screen to...
Well done.
He didn't have it memorized, I know.
Of course not. From Florida, for God's sake. Oop, that'll get me in trouble.
So this podcast is sponsored by Audible.com. We'd appreciate it if anybody listening to this, obviously you like listening to spoken word stuff, best way to get caught up on your reading, if you don't have time to read, is listen to an audiobook. Or even a stand-up comedy act. I mean, Audible.com has just a huge selection, over 35,000 books to choose from. If you join right now, clicking at mymac.com, you'll see the Audible link at the very top of the page. There's also one onto the right side of the page.
Mm-hmm.
Go to audible.com. They'll give you a free audio book. That's yours to keep whether you stay with the service or not. You get 2 weeks free, and it's a really good deal.
And remember, if you can hear it, it's Audible.
Yes. I really like that. I almost felt clever when I listened to that last week on the podcast. If it's Audible. No. See?
You did
it
again.
You blew it. Yeah. Oh, you blew it.
If you can hear it, it's
Audible.
It's Audible.
Nice.
What?
Yeah, so thank you very much to Audible.com for sponsoring the podcast and the website.
They are great guys. Yep.
So let's jump into some Mac news. There's a little bit of it this week. Probably the big news is Apple released a new MacBook.
Yep. Apple has updated their consumer notebook, the MacBook, with Intel's Core 2 Duo processors, more memory, bigger hard drives, and a lower price.
Hmm.
So you're still looking at the same 13.3-inch screen, same integrated graphics chip. The optical drive gets a slight upgrade in speed as well. So what's it going to cost you?
$1,099, that's $1,099, get you a white MacBook with a 2 gigahertz processor, 1 gigabytes of RAM, a CD-DVD combo drive, no DVD burning, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And an 80 gigabyte hard drive. Man, are they ever going to... It seems like the base models had an 80 gigabyte hard drive forever now.
Mm-hmm.
Bump that up to 120 gigs or something. Now spend another $200 and get a white MacBook with a 2.16 gigahertz C2D. What is that?
Core 2 Duo.
Oh, okay. My fault. A 120 gigabyte hard drive and a CD DVD burning super drive. That right there makes the extra $200 worth it. Yeah. You have to have a super drive.
Oh, yeah.
Or the 160 gig you get with the black MacBook. And how much is that? That's extra. What?
It's $14.99.
$14.99. So
yeah, it's another $200 more.
So you're spending $200 for 40 gigs of hard drive space.
Well, it's worth it though when you start using it all the time.
Well, no, I'm talking about. But see, you can outfit the white MacBook with the exact same drive, and it's $125 less.
Yeah, but it's not white.
It is white. It's not black.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not black. Yeah. I want the black one.
Once you go... Oh, I'm not going there.
Next story, Guy. Microsoft delays the XML file converters for the Mac?
Yeah, they've delayed releasing the XML file converters for the Mac until about 8 weeks after the release of Office 2008 for the Mac. The reason they gave is that the Mac BU team is too busy working on the final release for Office 2008 for the Mac. This sounds... strangely familiar.
Hmm.
In related news, they've also released the beta for the XML converters for the Mac, but it will only convert Word for Windows XML files and then only into RTF files.
That's a rich text
PowerPoint files won't convert, and the converter will not accept Mac Office Word files and convert them into XML.
What's taking Microsoft so long? They're a huge company. Hire a couple more Mac programmers and get this stuff out there, you know?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Isn't this what people were saying about Apple and the iPhone and Leopard? hire some people, for God's sake.
Yeah, but, you know, there's nothing that anybody is doing right now that they need an iPhone. There's nothing anybody's doing right now that they need 10.5. There are people working right now that need to convert Office documents between the Mac and the PC versions.
That's very, very true.
So there's a huge difference in... It's a converter. Come on. How difficult could it be to whip that up?
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, that can't be too difficult. I thought this was the XML standard that Microsoft's employing is an open standard.
No,
so what's the problem? Yeah, it's their own open standard.
Yeah.
Right. Which means it's not... It's open, but not as open as other people might think of as open.
Amazon is doing the non-DRM song music store as well. They can file this in the Me Too category. Amazon will sell DRM-less music through its online store soon. Like Apple, Amazon has reached a deal with EMI to sell its entire catalog through the Amazon, with a big difference being that they can be sold in MP3 file format as compared to Apple's iTunes store, which uses the far superior and better-sounding AAC format. Apple has announced that their DRM-less music will be sold for $1.29 and will be at 256K bit rate. Wasn't that supposed to start this month?
I thought so.
Yeah.
Didn't they say May?
Yeah, because didn't we have that? We talked about that, or at least Bill Palmer posted that blog on the website about that.
It was supposed to come out in May of this year. That was the whole... I mean, when we reported that story originally, it was like, what, 6 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, wow, it's not even 2 months from now. That's cool. And will you upgrade your music for an extra 30 cents a song? I said, yeah, I will. Well, not all of them. There's some that I'm like, yeah, I wish kind of I went about that. But there's definitely some music that I would, definitely.
Well, there's nothing on the Apple site that says about when they're going to release that.
Roll it out. Yeah. Well, they're going to have to release a new version of iTunes, obviously. They're going to have to convert all those songs into DRM-free tracks at 256, which means they got to encode them all again. Interesting. I'm looking
forward
to it.
But the good news is that they now have Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Woohoo! You know, some of those old Hanna-Barbera cartoons weren't too bad.
Yeah.
Well, if they get Johnny Quest, I bet I'll get a couple of those.
Yeah?
As long as they don't edit them. As long as they don't edit them and make them politically correct.
Yeah.
Well, I'm serious. You watch some of them and... they wouldn't fly nowadays.
No, they wouldn't, unfortunately.
Everybody's... Ray Spannon, there's something wrong with that man.
Too much political correctness today.
Yeah.
I saw the Engadget ran a story about the iPhone and Leopard delays, and it wasn't even true.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Apple dropped like $4 a share right when it first hit. And Engadget was eating had a little egg in her face.
Yeah, they ran a story from a supposed trusted source that said that Apple was going to delay both the iPhone until October and OS X 10.5 until January of 2008. The source quoted from an apparent internal email from Apple. Apple soon sent out correction that stated the device and software were still on track for June and October, respectively. You know, Apple just got FCC approval today for the iPhone.
Did they?
Yep.
Yeah,
today
that
was the day.
I just heard about that as I was getting ready to leave from work. I didn't see the point in writing it up. I figured we'd talk about it.
Yep. It's,
Give a little love and it all comes back to you.
Isn't that a Coke commercial?
Yeah.
Let's see, what else is going on? Motorola granted a patent for smell cell technology.
What the hell? Smell cell?
What the hell?
Yes, it's in the smellophone category. Western civilization is now definitely on the decline due to a new patent received by cell phone giant Motorola. Last month, Motorola received a patent for a communication device having a scent release feature and method thereof. The phone becomes essentially a wireless Glade plug-in.
That's great.
It uses the phone's battery to heat a replaceable scent pack to 54 degrees Celsius, which releases the fragrance.
Oh.
Plug-in units typically provide a stronger scent over a broader area than non-plug-in scented items. Great.
Vanilla cell phone.
I don't know. That's,
Gee, guy, you smell like apple pie.
Why?
Gee, your hair smells terrific.
None of these scent things ever work. I think that... wasn't there an Earl?
My name is Earl. Scratch and sniff, my name is Earl.
That already happened, didn't
it?
Because I think I missed that one.
Yeah.
That's one of the rare ones that I missed. Where you got something in the TV guide and you're supposed to scratch it
when they show a number, yeah.
Well, that's a gimmick. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But an actual cell phone that you plug, I don't know.
Well, and plus, what do these scent things come in? I mean, are they little drops of oil? Do you want that running around in your pocket?
Yeah, I was just going to say, because I keep my cell phone in my pocket. I don't want my pocket.
If I was going to guess, it's probably like just a little screen that you kind of slide into it.
I don't know.
I want to be wasting my battery charge?
It's an incredibly stupid idea.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Now, don't we know someone who knows who has a brother that works at Motorola?
Ooh, what was that?
I don't know. We were going to ask you.
Well, the wife and kids just got home a little while ago, so
let's probably make as much noise and interrupt.
My son Guy is probably getting his daily beating. So.
Apple, a large spike in traffic, in online traffic, I should say, for Apple.com in April, according to ComSource, an internet marketing solutions provider. Apple's various websites ranked 13th in overall hits for the month. And who really cares?
Yep.
I hear that Beatles may finally be going into the iTunes Music Store, Chad.
Paul McCartney's next album, Memory Almost Full, will be sold in the iTunes Music Store. And Sir Paul also stated almost all the bottlenecks preventing the sales of the Beatles' back catalog of music are gone as well. The big question besides the when will it be sold is almost certainly will most people care?
Yeah, I've got all the Beatles stuff already.
Yeah, they've probably ripped their CDs in there already. Anything you wanted from the Beatles you probably had on CD anyways.
And where the heck is Led Zeppelin? That's what I want to know.
Zepp's not up there?
No.
Yeah, I've got most of the stuff I want from them anyways.
Yeah,
I do. And Led Zeppelin's one of those groups that's like, I don't really want to listen to Led Zeppelin right now. As a programming note, I should say that we will not be having a Book Bites Live this week. A review from Robert or a fenestration.
Really?
No, nobody said anything.
So it's just us this week?
Wow. Yeah, just us this week. Nemo
suddenly
is taking...
you hear the sound of hundreds of thousands of iPods going
click. Next track. Robert sent me an email asking why I didn't use his last review, and I didn't get it. So that's probably why. David, for Fenestration, is just really busy with work right now.
Yeah.
That's cool. And Nemo is going on vacation for at least a month.
Well, good Lord, the man deserves it with all the things he's been doing.
He's been doing so much stuff lately that, he wanted to know if he should try to fill in with some other stuff. And
Where's he going?
He does a lot of house sitting or vacationing or something this time of the year.
Yeah.
This is the last time he came up here was around now, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's where he was going. He was coming up to visit.
And,
family, so.
I basically said, take some time off, man. Don't, when you feel like you have to put something out there, that's when it's not very good.
Yeah.
And, just take some time off, refresh. I really like his Book Bites series with the authors. Last week's was great.
Yeah. I really have to say, I think that his Book Bites Live stuff is absolutely the best stuff he's been doing on the podcast.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. I really do. He asks good questions, and it's good conversation with the authors out there.
Yep.
Almost as good as the dashboard.
Excuse me. I'm still not 100%, other than my tummy hurting today. I'm still stuffy. I'm still congested. This hasn't gone, God darn global warming. So last story, we'll kick this one over to Guy. Microsoft claims 235... patent violations from Linux.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Developers. Microsoft is currently claiming that over 200 of its patents are being violated by the free and open source community, and they want to do something about it. What that something is to obviously sue the bejesus out of every individual and entity their lawyers can send letters to. The Redmond behemoth asserts that one reason free software is of such high quality is that it violates Microsoft's patents.
Because God knows developers would never spend that much time making something that works that they could possibly sell or at least build a reputation on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a Microsoft senior vice president and general counsel claims that 235 of the patents are in direct violation and breaks them down in this way, that the deepest layer of the free operating system, which interacts most directly with the computer hardware, violates 42 patents. The GUI, essentially the way design elements like menus and toolbars are set up, run afoul of another 65. The Open Office Suite infringes on 45 more, and email programs infringe on 15, and assorted other FOSS programs transgress 68.
Hmm. Microsoft actually has patents on their graphical user interface? Why? It's kind of a serious question.
How can they patent something they stole from someone else to begin with?
They'll be hearing from Xerox any day now.
What did Microsoft bring to the email programs that they warranted 15 patents?
I don't know. I think that the way people are just throwing patents out there, that it's ridiculous, and something's got to be done about it.
It's.
I say we all move to China. We don't have to worry about those problems anymore.
No. Doesn't seem like it. Or freedom, for that matter.
But God forbid you look at some porn, you'll end up in jail for 15 years.
Yeah. I, this is... Microsoft really doesn't view Apple's operating system as a threat, although I think that's going to change here in the next
couple years.
I think 2 years from now we're going to be looking back saying, you can really see. Did you see Steve Jobs?
No, because Microsoft views Apple's operating system as R&D for them. So
yeah, but you know, if you look at Vista,
mm-hmm.
and what their goals were with Vista when they first announced it.
Oh yeah.
And you look at what it actually shipped. I don't see Microsoft honestly being able to come out with anything else in any time soon.
Well,
for an operating system.
And that's the problem, is that they can't, because they are so big. They're so accepted as an industry standard, and it takes so long for those large companies to adopt any new OS changes.
Microsoft takes no chances when it comes to the OS.
Right.
And Apple is still small and nimble enough to be able to institute changes.
Yeah, going from OS 9 to OS X.
Yes.
I mean, that was huge.
Yes, yes. But the people who develop software for the Mac seem to be much more nimble as well.
Mm-hmm.
The developers are going to have a lot of new programs when Leopard comes out that's specific to Leopard, that you can only use it with Leopard.
Right.
And I don't see that too many independent developers are hurting when they take advantage of the new technologies in the latest and greatest Mac OS release.
No.
You know, you don't see a lot of Apple 10.3 users bitching about not being able to use a product mm-hmm. because it requires 10.4.
Right.
Apple users.
Well, there are some. There are some, but
not very many.
Not enough to be a deal killer.
No, I think most Apple users tend to migrate up with Apple
mm-hmm.
after Leopard's released. Probably within a few months, the majority of hardcore Mac users, anyways, are going to be switched over.
Right.
But that being said, I can't tell you how many times I go to someone's house because they need help with their Mac, and I get there, and it's a Mac Plus running System 607. It's like, holy crap. I mean, I literally can almost not help those people because it's stuff that I used to know,
mm-hmm.
and I literally discarded the knowledge on what I have to do. I couldn't remember how to rebuild a desktop on one machine once. I went to a house, and I knew that's what needed to be done. All the icons went generic. I was like, mm-hmm. I just need to have its desktop rebuilt.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I don't understand what's the desktop. Well, it's just a little file that keeps track of, you know, what the icons look mm-hmm. like, where programs are and stuff like that. And I could not remember how to do it.
You know what? Now that you bring it up, I don't remember. And that was an easy one, and I don't think I can remember off
the top. It took me a while to remember how to turn off extensions, which is just holding down the shift key.
Yeah.
But I couldn't remember. In fact, I can't remember right now. Now that I'm starting to think about it, I don't remember how to rebuild the desktop.
I know when you reboot, you have to hold down a key, and I can't remember what it is, damn it.
Was it one key or two?
I think it was a combination. I can't remember what the combination
was. I remember how to
reset
the PRAM. That was Apple Option RP.
Yeah.
I don't know why I can remember that, but I just kind of always remembered AARP. So.
Yeah.
Apple Option A or RP.
Well, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you later.
Yeah. And we hate that.
Yeah, I know. It's such a waste of time.
But, yeah, it's you forget that knowledge. You mm-hmm. really, really do. I eventually remembered because I kept different combinations. I kept restarting. Nope, that one's not it. Mm-hmm. Restart. Nope, that one's not it. Until it finally did it, I went, woohoo! But this was like 2 years ago at this point when 10.3 was,
mm-hmm.
well, actually 10.4 was getting ready to come out.
It's been that long.
Well, September 2005 was when, wasn't that when we were doing the podcast when Tiger came out?
Yeah.
I mean, we've been doing this podcast.
No, that wasn't September 2005. It was May 2000.
No, you're right. It was early 2005.
Because we interviewed Doc Bob Levitis
yep.
the week before it was going to be released because he'd already reviewed it.
Right.
Or at least been playing with it.
Hmm.
But he couldn't say a lot about it.
I think
it was May. And I think it was 2005. I think you're right.
I see Dr. Mac is actually on Skype right now. I was like, no, let's call him. Well, he's not a staff member. We better not just interrupt the guy. Wow, it's been a long... It's been over 2 years then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still a great operating system. I really don't have any complaints about Tiger.
Yep.
By far, I think at this point, Tiger is by far the best version of the Mac OS that Apple's ever released. It really is. It's just super stable. It never crashes on me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen system crashes since the early days of 10.3.
Mm. Yeah, I think I'd probably agree with that. I think there's been a few that has that occurred on my previous G5 that's now acting. Yeah, that's now acting as the server for mymac.com. In fact, that machine still are the server that we have running mymac.com on. It's my old G5.
Yeah,
it's running 10.39.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not even Tiger. Because it really screwed, I Timbuktu into it the other day because my FTP password's no longer working. And I went to do a search in Spotlight, and Spotlight wasn't there. And I went, did someone turn off Spotlight? Damn. Why? What's the heck? Then I realized, oh, it's not 10 point. Because I was thinking, how do you turn off Spotlight? It's not up there in the menu where it's supposed to be. Oh, this is 10.39. It don't have Spotlight.
Where's Sherlock?
How do I do a search? Oh, that's right. Apple F. And, boy, that regular search is a whole lot slower than Spotlight. Spotlight, once you get used to it, I mean, it's very powerful.
Well, and I think like we talked about when we were talking to Rose Yao over at Google, so yeah. you get so used to using it, you don't have to be organized anymore if you don't want to.
No, in fact, today at where I do a lot of freelance work at, I dragged a file and it went somewhere and I went, where the heck did that go? And I opened up a couple, I couldn't find it. I had no idea where it disappeared to. So I just simply did a search for it in Spotlight, saw it, did the get info, and it told me where it was. And
it's so intuitive. Like when I have to do a search at work, because you know it's all
Windows
based. Yeah. You know, why do I have to tell you where to go to find something?
Yeah.
Just find it for me, damn it!
Just look. Can you just look for me?
Can't you just take a look for me?
Just look.
Why
around.
Do I have to tell you?
It's on the hard drive somewhere.
Just this once.
Remember Microsoft, where do you want to go today?
Would you like
to do I have to tell you everything?
Cancel or allow.
Cancel or allow. Latest happenings up at mymac.com include Tom Schmidt's review of the Airport Extreme base station. We were talking about that just a couple weeks ago with Rick Stringer. And you've got one of those, correct, Guy?
Yes, I do. The one thing he didn't mention in here it's really kind of a negative, is that the new Airport Extreme does not have gigabit Ethernet.
Really?
It's 10.100 only.
Huh. Well, I know that on last week's fenestration, David Cohen was talking about a problem he ran into with it, extending it, and his solution, which was great. I'm glad. Nothing drives me more crazy than someone talking about something and then not giving the solution. It's like, well, what you do to fix it?
Just another episode of Lost.
That was such a weird problem. I didn't realize that
there's different
that
the
Europeans had 13 channels and we only had 11.
Yeah, I had no idea either, and I never would have thought to look there.
Oh, I wouldn't have either.
No.
And
no,
he actually came across the answer
searching online.
Well, going backwards and, you know, stumbling into the answer, I mean. And you know, that's the way troubleshooting usually works. As a former IT manager, usually the way I found out an answer was kind of stumbling into it. Mm-hmm. And, oh, well, there's the solution. Prime example of that would be when I had the keys out of order error on my G5, the old G5, that no matter what I did, it looked like the entire machine was dead. And the only way to rescue it was to hook it up to a G4, booting it with extensions off, and accessing the hard drive that way. But, I mean, who would have thunk that that's the way you have to do it? I still get emails on that. People will have a keys out of order error on their Mac. It doesn't seem to work. You can't boot up from a CD. You can't do anything. So you're like, my drive is shot. What do I do? And a lot of people did searches on the internet and keep finding that old article that I wrote 2-3 years ago. They tried it and it worked for them. They're like, thank God you wrote that. Well, that's why we provide that kind of information, because where else are you going to get that info? Rich Lefko writes a review of Art Text. Looks interesting.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I thought Rich did a really good job in the review, just showing some of the holes with the program. Otherwise, I thought it looked pretty sharp.
He actually sent me that a couple weeks ago. I was just really late getting that posted.
Yeah.
Nothing. Same thing with Tom Schmidt's Airport Extreme Base Station review. For some reason, he kept stuffing the archive, making it a zip file, and sending it to me. And every time I tried to open the zip file, it said it was a corrupt file. It would not open. He sent it to me twice. Wouldn't work. Finally, he just sent it to me loose in an email, and you know, I could pull it off that way. But it was really, really strange. David Cohen, speaking of David Cohen, he did a review of MindJet Manager 6, which is another one of those programs that I actually have no use for, but I can totally see where a lot of people would take advantage of that. And that's from the Omni Group, which is... oh, no, that's not from the Omni Group. Who is that from?
No, that's from MindJet.
MindJet, right.
Mind Manager 6 is the name of the software. MindJet's the company.
I'm thinking of the Omni Group's very similar program.
Yep.
Mac Spiration, Beyond the Basics, Customizing Your Mac, Part 2, from Danny Ankelo. He also has a thumbnails number 39 up there. Where has all the rumors gone? Did you guys read my blog post called Drip?
Yeah, did you see my reply to that?
I don't know. I might have.
To give it a quick read.
I'm a busy guy. Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that one now. I did read that one. My eyes are still a little bit red, but they seem to be a whole lot better than they were.
So let me see if I got this straight. Your nose is clogged, your stomach is hurting, and your eyes are bleeding.
Pretty much, yeah.
Is there anything that's working correctly? Well, your wife is pregnant, so you're
well, something's working correctly. At least it was roughly 12 weeks ago. Right now, I don't know. I think the question is what's not bad on me right now. the search for a new house continues for me. As I've mentioned on the podcast, my neighborhood is going to crap. So if there's a very rich listener that can part with $200,000, you will make one Robertson family in West Michigan the happiest they've ever been. kind of not a joke, really, because our neighborhood is really getting bad. We do have new neighbors, and I'm so glad that they own two pit bulls.
Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah, one of them's an adult, and one of them's still kind of a pup. And they actually seem really nice dogs, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But they're pit bulls.
Yeah.
And the little one, the baby one, is maybe, I don't know, 4 to 6 months old, walks with a severe limp. I don't see any open wounds or anything, so I'm thinking there's something wrong with it. But these people will never take their dogs to the vet. And the puppy is never chained up or anything. It runs free. So that's nice. We're going to have a pit bull running free.
Is it at least fenced?
No.
Oh, my God.
And, but when I go out in the morning to go to work or whatever, take the kids to daycare or to school, the little pit bull will come right up to me, just want me to play with him and pet him. And he seems really nice, but it's a pit bull.
Mm-hmm. Well, considering it's a pit bull, make friends.
Oh, yeah. So I've already given it hot dogs. And
you can give him the rest of your, what did you call that thing?
Pasty.
Pasty.
Yeah, give him the rest of your pasty.
Yeah, I don't want to do that to the poor dog. So anything else going on in the Mac world or you guys want to talk about? Or
yeah, I got something here. You know, I've been playing around with these different web page creation programs. And just recently I found something in iWeb that'll take care of a problem that probably some people have.
Shoot.
Part of the problem with iWeb is you can really only make one site. If you want to make a new site, it'll give you the icon for another site, but your old site is also still there. You can't just have, okay, I just want to make this one site. You can't do that. So what I found is if you go into where the domain file is kept, which is kind of holds all the information for the page that you're making, it's in your personal, you know, in my case that would be, you know, your home folder, your username folder. Library, where are we here?
Silence isn't a good thing on an audio podcast.
No, not at all.
Okay, library, application support, and then click on iWeb, and you'll see where it says domain, and that's kind of the placeholder for all the information that you're putting into iWeb. If you want to create a new site, all you have to do is put a new folder into that iWeb folder in your library, and then take that domain. God, my brain is just falling to pieces today. The domain file, put it in that folder, and then the next time you fire up iWeb, it'll ask you if you want to create a new domain file.
Huh.
So you can make as many files as you want and just keep putting the old ones into other folders in your library.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing with Dreamweaver CS3, and the more I use it, the more I like it. I decided I was going to set up a test site for mymac.com where it would literally...
new one.
Yeah. And I put it in a folder on the website, and that way I can play with stuff and I can see what the live results would be without, you know, completely disrupting my Mac.com as a whole. And that's when I came across my FTP password not working problem. Jumped into InterArchy, which I usually use for my FTP transfers, and it wouldn't let me in either. So I'm like, "Arr." Unfortunately, no one at my service provider has returned my emails yet, which I'm getting a little perturbed about. The original owner at Innotech is no longer there, and ever since the new people have taken over, sad to say, it really does seem like the service is starting to go down a little bit. I don't like to say that about someone that's advertising on our site, but I'm getting a little perturbed. When I send an email saying my FTP password isn't working, and 2 days go by and I don't have one reply email yet, that's kind of a problem. So they need to... I know MacLife uses them as well, the previous Mac Attic. They're at the same service provider as we are. So they're a big company, but they're not so big that, and I'm not so small that 2 days before you hear a reply, it's 2 days plus right now. I'm still waiting. That's just not acceptable. So I'm going to have to call them and say, why aren't you guys responding to my emails a little bit more promptly? Not to put them, you know, out in the spotlight like that, but you know what? Sometimes. So that's My Mac Podcast number 130, sponsored by
Audible.com
and MyMac.com. If you guys want to hear more of a conversation between me, Chad, sometimes Guy, check out dungbowlers.com or just do a search within iTunes for Dung Bowlers, one word, and you will find it. Right now there's 2 episodes. Maybe there'll be a third by the time this goes live. So that's our show this week. We'll be back next week with whatever's happening in the Mac world, hopefully with some replies from you guys on what Mac would you bring and what programs would you bring to that fictitious desert island. And we can share that with everybody else. I really, that means you, Rune Anderson. Got to go with him sometimes, get him, you know. So that's the show. I appreciate everybody listening, and thanks to Guy and Chad. We'll see you next week.
Hello, Robert Hazelrig here. Today I'd like to talk to you about a couple of great new applications in the Adobe Creative Suite number 3. To start off, I would like to talk to you about Photoshop. Photoshop has some great new features, as well as some great enhancement to old features. 2 of the new enhancements are, 1, the new vanishing point enhancement. If you do a lot of 3D work in Photoshop, you are going to love the way they've enhanced the vanishing point. The other new feature enhancement I wanted to tell you about is the auto-align layers, which is part of the new enhancement in photo merging. If you're not familiar, you can go into either Bridge or Photoshop, grab a collection of photos, and merge them using the Photo Merge tool. In case you're not familiar with how that works, is let's say you've taken a series of shots of a landscape. You wanted to go shoot the Golden Gate Bridge, and it didn't fit into one shot, so you took a series of pictures in hopes that when you got back to your computer, you'd be able to assemble it in Photoshop. Well, now you can with just a couple of clicks of buttons. when you go to align your layers now, you're presented with a little splash screen that'll actually allow you to choose how you want the pictures to be assembled. So if you wanted them to be arranged side by side or stacked on top of each other, all you need to do is make your choice and click OK, and Photoshop takes care of the rest for you. Then, of course, the next step is to auto-blend the layers, which is another new enhancement. And what that will do is average the color on the edges of your shots and blend them together so it looks like one continuous photo. Adobe has also enhanced the auto-align layers feature. The best way for me to describe this is, imagine you've taken a photo of a large group of people, and during your first shot, three of the individuals were looking directly at you, and in one of the other shots, those three people happen to look perfect, but there are two other people who are not smiling quite right. Well, if you were to take those two images and assemble them on top of each other as separate layers, and then use the auto-align layers feature, Photoshop will then look at all of the similar pixels in both of those layers and line them up right on top of each other. Then all you need to do is create a layer mask and remove those elements from the top layer picture that you do not like to let them shine through to the shiny happy people in the layer below. Probably one of the most amazing new features to Photoshop CS3 is the new non-destructive filters. Wait, how could that be the most powerful feature? My clients never ever come back to me and ask for changes after I've spent 4 hours creating a 62-layered Photoshop document with 23 filters on it. No, that never happens. They never ask for changes. Well, if your clients don't ask for changes, then you won't care about non-destructive filter. But if you're not one of those lucky designers and have to go through rounds and rounds of red tape before a design gets approved, non-destructive filters are for you. So what this means now is if that Gaussian blur you applied to a document you saved 2 weeks ago is too blurry, just open up the PSD file, click on the Gaussian blur, and make the adjustment. And this way of working goes for any of the filters that you would find in the filters menu in Photoshop CS3. Oh, how I only wish that this was backwards compatible to CS2 documents. Now on to one of the great new features in Photoshop Extended that I have found to be very cool. So now when you want to open a series of images, you're presented with a new menu choice at the bottom of the splash screen. And this new little checkbox is called Image Sequence. If you click that when you have more than one image selected in the splash screen, you will then be presented with another splash that asks you to select the frame rate. Choose your frame rate, and then you have video inside Photoshop. If you want to, you can then export it to QuickTime, and if you have Flash installed, you can also export it to a Flash video. But that's not all you can do with video in Photoshop Extended. You can also import video into Photoshop and render frames to layers. It makes me wonder what you all do with this special new feature in Photoshop. So another thing that I really like about the new Photoshop is the new interface. We have done away with palettes, and we now have panels. Panels are great because they snap to the sides of the screen, and they do so in a way that allows you a lot more flexibility than you are probably accustomed to. You can snap them to the side and make them snap all the way away so they're completely, well, nearly invisible. You can pull them out slightly so you see icons, or you can pull them out even more so you see icons and titles. Regardless to whichever interface you prefer, icons or icons and titles, or snapped all the way to the side, when you click on an icon or an icon on and title, the panel then completely opens up, then exposing all of the options to the desired panel that you want to work in. What is also nifty about this new panel configuration is when you switch over to another icon by clicking on that, it automatically hides the panel that you were previously working in. The handy thing about this is it really maximizes your desktop real estate. And I found that working on even a small iBook size monitor, I didn't find myself having to continuously readjust my panels so I could see my artwork below. Moreover, I even found this handy when I was working on my G5 with three monitors. In fact, the panel configuration and interfaces is so seamless, it made me actually question the need to having multiple monitors. Of course, I stopped myself from thinking that way and quickly opened up some browsers and emails to flood my desktop real estate with some open documents. If you like the sound of this new feature in Photoshop, you may be happy to know that all of the CS3 applications use this new style of managed panels. One last thing I'd like to note before I cross the bridge into my bridge review is the new icon and color scheme that is throughout the entire Adobe Creative Suite. I have found that I really like it. I have found that the new color icons that are now attributed to all of my CS3 documents make the documents really easy to find. Photoshop is blue. All of my Photoshop documents are the same bright blue color in my Finder. It makes it very easy to find. Illustrator is orange. All of the Illustrator documents are now big orange blocks, and they're easy to find as well. This is one of the simplest of details that Adobe could have done to improve the new CS3. And it may sound trivial, but believe me, once you have the Creative Suite installed, you will find that you are finding your documents a lot quicker than you used to. Okay, just to finish up with a little bit of Bridge now. And that is, Bridge has some new enhanced features as well. If you use Bridge to browse your image collection, you might find stacking to be a great new enhancement. What stacking does is allows you to take a group of photographs and essentially stack them on top of each other like a deck of cards. I find myself using this new feature to stack images that belong to a single project. And this allows me to shuffle through my image collection much quicker. Another new feature in the Bridge is new metadata tagging. You can not only rate your images with a series of stars, you can also color code your images. This will help you save oodles of time searching for images in your collection. And the Bridge also now supports video playback. So if you've got a Flash file or a QuickTime movie in your content panel, you can actually scrub through and preview your Flash and QuickTime movies. Also new to Bridge is a loop tool. When you are previewing an image and want to see closer details, all you have to do is mouse over any image and you will see a little pop-up window which will blow up the area that your mouse is hovering over. It's a handy little tool if you're looking for details and don't really want to open the Photoshop document in Photoshop. You just want to preview to see if that document has the detail you're looking for. Just use the loop tool. And finally, just to close out the review, I want to tell you about one more thing in Bridge, and that is Bridge now finally supports workspaces. If you look in the lower right-hand side of the new Bridge interface, it allows you to save three preset workspaces. So you can set one to an interface that you like, and then set number two to a different interface. And with a click of a button, you can toggle back and forth between three different interfaces. So for me, in interface one, I have just sort of a general all-purpose configuration where you see a lot of my images in the main content field, whereas in my preset number two, I've set it up to look at individual images rather than image collections. In my preset number three, I've set it up to really do my hardcore searching through my image collection, and I've maximized the metadata. So wow, CS3 and the new version of Photoshop is finally here. In case you haven't noticed, I am extremely excited about this latest update to CS3. So far, it has been the least painful of all Adobe upgrades that I've ever installed. And that says a lot because I've been using Photoshop since version 2 and Adobe Illustrator since 1988. So far for me, it has been completely trouble-free. And I've actually gone through and removed CS2 from my machines and never looked back. So, that's it for me this week. This has been Robert Hazelrig. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.